lacrosse fans, and welcome back inside the Hive. It's Jay Kelly, your voice of the Minnesota Swarm, joined by Alex Shimke, of course, of mnswarm.com. As we're back for another episode of Inside Hive here, and Alec, it's number four already, a month into this thing, and let's keep it rolling here inside the Hive.
Number four, Jake, but I'm going to start you out with another number, the number two. Two goals Ryan Benesch needs to surpass the 100-goal mark in a Swarm uniform, becoming only the third player to do so in team history. I'm going to bet he does it this weekend.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty safe bet from Benesch, accomplishing that milestone. And maybe you can let the fans know, and myself, because I don't know this, who are the other two to do it in a Swarm jersey?
Ryan Ward and Sean Pollock, so he's joining a pretty classy group right there.
Absolutely, as those guys have moved on, Sean in Colorado now and Ryan in Edmonton. And coming up on this week inside the Hive, we have a couple of players that we're looking forward to talking to. The first one will be Kevin Ross. He'll be joining us shortly. And the second will be Pat Smith, and we'll get into those guys in a little bit. But, Alec, let's start off here talking about what happened last week in Buffalo as the Swarm went into Buffalo and kind of got off to a slow start there and just were unable to make the comeback. They made a real late push there, had a fantastic third quarter. But coming up a little bit short in Buffalo, give us your thoughts on the game against the Bandits there last week.
Certainly a tough one to watch, but more than anything, it was good to see the guys come back. You know, they could have lost that game by 10-some goals, but, you know, in the third quarter there, it was 9-7. The guys went on that four-goal run to get the game within two. That was really nice to see. Buffalo, I think, was just simply the better team last weekend. They're coming off a win the night before against the Rock. And, you know, the Swarm coming in pretty confident, just things weren't clicking. You know, sometimes those games happen. And Jake, just your overall thoughts on the Bandits, you know, finally they're able to pull a winning streak together and turn things around.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't going to be too long. And that team, just with that many veterans and that many good ball players on it, it wasn't going to last forever. And, you know, I had a sneaking suspicion that Buffalo was going to come out pretty strong in that game, and they did. And, you know, it's a tough place. We had Buffalo early in the season. We had a pretty convincing win at the X over them. And to go into Buffalo and try and sweep that series was always going to be a tough task for Minnesota to do that. And they ran into a bit of a buzzsaw in the Bandits. We almost managed to complete the comeback there. That late goal by Benesch that was called back for a player in the crease, I thought was really the turning point in that one. And a couple of late goals that see John Tavares, the all-time National Lacrosse League scorer, get his 1,600th point and kind of seal the deal there. But that game featuring a couple of new players, that, and one of them that we're going to talk to in a little bit here in Pat Smith, but the other in Josh Gillum, a guy that we just signed to a one-year contract, the guy that we drafted last year, coming out of the Peterborough area in Canada, a guy that head coach and assistant GM Joe Sullivan knows really well. And on the conference call today with the National Lacrosse League, Joe Sullivan had a chance to address what he thought of Josh Gillum and what kind of player he is. And let's check out what Sully has to say about Josh Gillum.
Yeah, I know Josh real well. You know, what he's going to bring is an exciting inside game. He's an athletic guy that's, it's going to take him some time to get back, but we wanted to get him some floor time so that he can find his timing, and get to know the guys, you know, because he's been removed from playing pro hockey, over in Europe. So, getting him back was a big thing for us to try and get done, before the deadline, and, just to make him part of this thing down the run. He's a young guy, you know, we drafted last year that, you know, we really took a chance on, but, he's exciting to watch. Great kid on and off the floor and a real competitor. So he's going to fit in real well with the group.
Those are the comments of Joe Sullivan regarding Josh Gillum. And another face that returned to the Swarm lineup was Tyler Haas, and he's been battling a bit of an injury to one of his wrists. And it was good to see Tyler Haas back in there. And it's probably going to take Tyler a couple of games to get back in there. But it was good to see number nine back in the Swarm lineup for sure.
No, absolutely. He brings a great presence out on the floor, standing tall at 6'6". And then, you know, I was really excited to see Pat Smith out there. Really impressed by him in training camp, both with his outside shot and, you know, work around the crease. And it was kind of funny watching it. He scored his first goal in the number 19 jersey. And I think John Gertler, the Buffalo Bandits announcer, said Jamie Shuchuk. But it was a right-handed player, so I think everyone was kind of scrambling, wondering who is this guy that just scored a goal. And, you know, congrats to Pat for scoring early on in the game, too, at that point, giving the Swarm a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, kind of a tough situation for John there, as a few players had switched jerseys. Of course, Gillum was wearing the number 8. Of another guy that we can probably talk a little bit about is Greg Downing, who's been put on long-term injury reserve, a knee injury that sees him done for the year. And you talked about the number 19 and Jamie Tkachuk, a guy that the trade deadline saw we moved him to Colorado for a third-round pick. And sorry to see Jamie Tkachuk go, but also kind of happy for him as he gets to move back into his hometown where he goes to school, where he lives full-time. So, you know, a situation there where, you know, the emergence of Joel Henry and the acquisition of Josh Gillum kind of freed us up to make that move. And, you know, it's sad to see Jamie Tkachuk go, but also good for him to get back closer to home.
The Colorado Mammoth released a video on Wednesday interviewing Jamie Tkachuk, and, you know, he said nothing but nice things to say about Minnesota, and you know, he's obviously excited to be playing for the Mammoth, who sit in first place. You know, obviously wish Jamie the best of luck. I enjoyed working with him a lot here in Minnesota. Just obviously, you know, hope he doesn't kill us too much when we play him again that last game of the season.
And now the last player that we may be able to talk about here a little bit, and with all these acquisitions and moves that we've made, is a guy that, Alec, yourself got to know a little bit during training camp, and a guy that I've known. He's from my hometown, a kid that I've coached back in his junior days, Mike Brascia. It looks like he's going to be signed to our practice roster, and pretty interesting situation with Mike Brascia. He really made a name for himself during that training camp, and you know, he was the first guy that Joe and John decided to call up when a roster spot became available.
What a great story, getting to meet him in training camp, and yeah, paid his own way there, and you know, was battling some injuries and really fought hard to you know, earn a spot with the Swarm. Came up a little bit short. Very exciting to see that, you know, he'll possibly be getting an opportunity now to suit up for the remainder of the 2012 season.
And we do have Kevin Ross on the line, but before we get to Roscoe here, we got the Stealth coming up this weekend, a Sunday game in Washington as the long road trip comes to an end here for the Swarm before we get back to the XL Energy Center. And Joe Sullivan and Chris Hall both talking about the matchup coming up this Sunday in Everett. Let's hear what Sully and Chris Hall have to say about this contest coming up on Sunday.
Hey, you know, the same thing as I said after that win. I mean, we played the Stealth without, you know, without Richards. We played, you know, they didn't have Dutch. They didn't have the Wiki. So, you know, they were in a tough spot, right? So we took advantage of it like anybody would and got lucky and the ball bounced our way. But, you know, it would be pretty remiss to say that going into Washington is like playing a completely different team. You know, they're pretty revitalized after knocking off Colorado, and they got all their players. It looks like they're all healthy on the back door and the front door, and I fully expect it to be a one heck of a game.
Those are the comments of Joe Sullivan. I'm not sure if we got Chris Hall on deck here or not, Alec.
They've been very entertaining to watch, and they handed it to us, you know, that first game in Washington. So we got a lot of respect for these kids. They run hard all night long, and like I say, play with a ton of confidence. So looking forward to a good game.
There are the comments of the two head coaches as the Stealth will host the Swarm on Sunday in Everett. And we do have Kevin Ross on the line here. Let's welcome Kevin Ross inside the Hive. Roscoe, where are you there, bud?
Hey, Jumbo, how you doing?
I am good, sir. Thanks for taking the time here. I know you're on the road heading to a little shoot-around with some of the boys back in Ontario.
No problem.
And let's get right into it here, Roscoe. How did you get started playing lacrosse?
That takes me back to just before my third birthday. My mom had, you know, took me to a daycare while she was at work, and the lady at the daycare is actually Matt Giles' mother. Matt Giles, he's played the Swarm last year, suggested that my mom take me down to the box lacrosse rink down in the Beaches area of Toronto, because she saw me at the daycare, and I was always playing the hockey sticks and playing the balls and stuff. And, you know, from that day forward, it was pretty much where I was every day in the summertime, up until even these days, playing Minnesota and playing summer ball.
So another case where a good Canadian kid starts lacrosse at a very young age, and you find yourself now a professional lacrosse player, Kevin, and been in the league for a few years now, and we've seen over the last couple of years in this Minnesota roster a lot of veterans moved out. You're one of the remaining guys and have kind of evolved into a leader on this team. How do you enjoy that role? Is that something you embrace? And how do you approach being a leader on this team now?
That's really a role I started to relish this year a lot. You know, the approach we've sort of taken, at least I've taken, is that, you know, I've had the opportunity to play with a lot of great leaders, both, you know, in Minnesota and with my summer teams, and just sort of seeing what they do to instill confidence in their guys and the players. And it really revolves most around leading by example and, you know, just always doing the right things, whether it's on the floor, off the floor, making the smart decisions and making sure that, you know, you're a guy that some of the younger guys may be willing to follow out there and try to emulate what you're doing. So that's really the role I've sort of taken, and having this role in Minnesota is really special because we have gone through quite a big overhaul this past season. But, you know, we still kept a pretty good core together, and everyone we've kept on this team is a leader in some way, you know, between Suter, Benny, Watts, and Ossie Croft. I can go on and on. Richie Morgan, everybody, you know, is a leader on this team and deserves to be recognized for it.
Well, let's get the hard stuff out of the way here. And, you know, you talked about all those changes. And, you know, how is that something that you deal with? Is that just a part of the business to you? Or and is it tough to see guys that you've played with for a long time be moved out and all these new young guys coming in? How do you deal with all the changes that have been made? And you know, how do you approach that?
Well, from like a relationship standpoint, these are guys that you get to know pretty well. I was on the team. This is my fourth year of the Swarm now. So I got to know a lot of those guys pretty well. So obviously it's tough to see them get moved anywhere, whether it's released or traded. But at the same time, you got to realize it's a business. And, you know, lacrosse world, anybody who knows lacrosse knows that, well, we're going to war with each other on the floor. Everybody's still a pretty tight-knit group, you know, lacrosse family off the floor. In terms of, you know, the personnel we brought in, I'll be honest, I was a little nervous going to training camp with some of the changes we made, you know, from goaltending defensively, transitioning in our offense. Didn't really know what we were bringing back. I wasn't too sure what we were bringing in. Obviously, you know, real pleasant surprises what we've had so far, you know, especially with between the pipes, our two rookie goaltenders doing a fantastic job. So, you know, when changes are made, yeah, it may be tough to wrap your head around, you know, saying goodbye to a few of the guys, but it is a business, and we've done a great job welcoming these guys in, and all the rookies we've brought in, all the new fresh faces, done a fantastic job for us.
Yeah, you know, this kind of brings me into my next question here for you, Kevin, is that, you know, you talked about being a little bit nervous in training camp, as I'm sure a lot of other veterans were, and I really had no idea what to expect coming into my first year with the franchise, but let's talk about the year so far, both for you personally and team-wise. How do you think things have gone so far for you personally and for the team, and what are your expectations moving forward for both as well?
On a personal note, I'm fairly happy with the way things have gone. You know, had a couple of games where I'd like to, you know, play better, and then some other games where I've been pretty happy with my performance. Traditionally kind of on this team, working that left side with Benny and now with Joel Henry, it's been more of a grinder role for myself, setting picks for Benny, getting him open, making sure I'm doing the little things. But with the changes we made in the offseason, I've sort of maybe taken on a little bit more of an offensive presence role in terms of being a bit more of a playmaker and a ball carrier, and that's something I'm happy to do and I've looked forward to. At this point in the season for me personally, I just want to, you know, try and maintain some consistency, make sure I'm being productive and help our team win whatever way I can. And in terms of, you know, the way the team's gone so far, got to say I'm pretty satisfied with it. I mean, you never want to say you're satisfied, but I'm happy with the way things have gone. You know, we really easily, not easily, but you know, there's not a lot holding us back from being sitting about, you know, a 6-3, you know, 7-2 almost mark. You know, coming off of a bye week against Buffalo, they're rolling hot after their Toronto win, and we came up a little flat. In the second half, I think we proved that we were a team that that, you know, has the talent, has the ability to beat them. We just kind of came up short.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other games in the season where, you know, one or two goals here could have made a big difference. So we aren't too far from being one of those elite teams in the league with the Colorados and the Philadelphias right now.
Let's get into some more maybe lighthearted and fun stuff here. Kevin, if you were the commissioner of the National Lacrosse League for a day, what would you change about the game?
Oh, good question. What would I change? I'd make a new rule that if you're supposed to be a free agent the following year, you can't be a free agent without playing your previous season.
So nothing to do with the on-floor stuff. This is kind of the business side off the floor that you're talking about.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, for franchises, especially ones like Minnesota, some of the smaller markets like Edmonton, you know, for these franchises to survive and also, you know, for the health of the league long-term, you know, we need these franchises involved and we need players, you know, the best players in the world willing to play in these spots. So, you know, the best players in the world are typically a little older guys that are looking to become franchise players and free agents. And for people to be able to hold out and kind of have teams by the neck and say, this I can play for you, I'll be a free agent eventually, that's not really going to be beneficial for the league long term.
Interesting. You take the business side approach to it. And speaking of the business side of it, I see you quite frequently posting on Facebook about the classes that you're studying for and the tests that you have coming up. Why don't you tell the fans of the Minnesota Swarm what it is that you're taking at school and what do you plan to do with your degree once you graduate?
Well, I'm currently in an MBA program at Canisius College in Buffalo, New York, where I played my college across. They have a one-year program that was pretty attractive to me. So after working in Toronto for 4 years, I decided that it was time to go back to school. So I'm doing that right now, and hopefully I can take that into, you know, just advancing my career in business, whether that's in finance or real estate or something. I guess we can figure that out as we get a little closer to graduation.
And you still got some time as a professional lacrosse player to figure that out. Now, Kevin,
Absolutely.
You wear the number 71. Is there a reason for that?
I got 71 originally when I started my junior A career. I've been number 17 the whole way up, and I got to the Toronto Beaches Junior A team, and a guy by the name of Adam Robertson had 17, so I just switched the numbers around and got 71. Then, you know, kind of wanted to get back to 17 as I got to the MLL, went to the Chicago Shamrocks in my rookie year, and Kevin Fiennes had 17. So I did the same thing, flipped it around to 71, and, you know, when I finally got picked up in Minnesota, I'm like, okay, maybe I get 17 here. But we had Sean Pollock at the time. He was 17, so I flipped it around again. And by that point, you know, I was pretty well into my career. I think 71 sort of has stuck with me, and that's the number I'll try and wear the rest of my career.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique number. I can't think of anyone else that's wearing 71, so I think you should probably stick with that one. A couple more from me, Kevin, before we turn you over to Alec. I'm sure he's got a few questions from some fans that have sent some questions in. But I've watched you during warm-ups, and I've watched you play games. You get the mean mug going. You get that intense look on your face during warm-up. You seem to be a pretty focused individual. Then you get out on the floor, and I've seen you doing a bit of a trash talk, a little smack back and forth with some of the players. Is that something that you've always done, and does that help you get into the game?
Well, some of it may be, you know, smack talk and trying to get guys off their game, but I think a lot of it is kind of lighthearted as well. You know, as I mentioned, the lacrosse family is pretty tight-knit. Everybody knows everybody in there. I don't think there's a team in the league where guys don't know two or three guys in the opposing team. So a lot of it might be just saying hello in maybe a more of an aggressive way. But
leave the daughters and mothers and sisters out of it?
Yeah. You don't want to be too aggressive with that. But at the same time, you know, there's some guys that you think maybe if you can talk to them and get in there a little bit, it might change their game. Maybe they're thinking about what you're going to say or what they're going to be saying back to you other than what they're supposed to be doing on the floor. So there's some strategy involved, but for the most part, it's pretty lighthearted.
Okay, now we're going to get into some serious stuff here, Kevin. What does Kevin Ross eat for a pregame meal?
My pregame meal in Minnesota is at the Downtowner.
Of course.
Typically, it's the spinach and goat cheese pizza they have there. It's pretty good.
I have tried that. Not a bad selection.
Now, I'm enjoying it.
Now, Richie Morgan just turned me on to mnswarm.com today, and there's a nice, beautiful picture up there today with yourself holding the stick with a nice bouquet of flowers in there. Now, how did all this come about? And you mentioned that there might have been a bit of a modeling career before this picture went up on the website. How did that all come about, and is that something you're comfortable doing?
Well, that one, the photo they got, I think, was we all did sort of the team photos at the beginning of the year. Like, we just kind of posed casually, and that was one of the photos I took. But they must have superimposed something and figured that I'd probably be the best candidate to be a model on the team, and that, you know, if they're trying to sell tickets, they better be using my face for it, right?
Well, I'm sure Benny's going to have something to say about that with that blue steel look he's got. And now one other thing I got here for you, Roscoe. Shuchak, on his way out the door here, mentioned to me that Kevin Ross may not be your legal name here. Do you want to comment on that, or do you just want to plead the fifth?
Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, one last remark before he goes. That's great. My real first name is a family name that's been passed down through a few generations. So, you know, it's not too hard to figure out, but I'll let folks, you know, dig a little deeper if they're really interested in it.
Okay, so there's something Swarm fans can dig into a little bit if you can find out. Maybe we can, Alec, we can get a trivia question going here for a Minnesota prize pack through Swarm Awards here. If the first fan can come up with Kevin Ross's actual legal given name, we might have something for you here. And last one here for me, Ross. If you could play and be professional at any other sport, what would it be and why?
You know, I'd love to say hockey, but that's a pretty grueling 82 schedule. Rory McIlroy seems to have a pretty good grip on life right now, so that wouldn't be a bad spot to be in.
A golfer. Okay. Okay. Ross, I appreciate you coming inside the Hive here. Before we let you go, we're going to turn you over to Alec, who's got a couple of questions from some fans, and I appreciate you coming inside the Hive.
Hey, thank you, Jimbo.
Kevin, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem, buddy.
Hey, this question comes from John Hoffman on Facebook. He writes, you, Andrew Watt, and Joe Sanowski have been here for 4 years now, the longest of any current Swarm players. How have things changed or not changed with the team in that time?
I really think the attitude just towards the on-floor performance and the priorities of the team has changed. We actually came in, the three of us first year was the same year that Viarlato had taken over the team, and it was really... you know, it was a learning experience for the Arlottas, and I think they've realized that now they have a pretty good grip on things. But for us, you know, the mentality now, as it really always has been, but it's even more of a focus these days, is that, you know, winning lacrosse is our number one priority, as it always has been, but it's even more, you know, aside from seeing your friends or maybe visiting different cities, whatever it is, you know, winning lacrosse games and the winning mentality we have this season has definitely been more at the forefront than it has any other years.
Next question was emailed to us from Steven Rochester, and he writes, Kevin, I noticed you score a lot of goals from behind the net. Is that your favorite position to score?
I'm not sure if it's my favorite position. I saw a guy in Toronto do it in some highlight videos about a year ago, and you know, people are starting to call it a bit of a trick play, but I really think it's tough for the goalie to see. The goalie has to respect his close side pipe, and if you can get there and beat him to the far side, then you know, he has a pretty hard time getting back there. So, do I like playing there? Yeah, I think it's kind of cool to be able to score from behind the net there, but it just sort of something that came along because it's effective, not something that I'm really, you know, I don't love to be back there or anything.
Yeah, one more question from you or for you, and before I say it, dear Emerson, just a little fact. You've scored in every game this season. So with that said, John Hoffman writes again, Kevin, right now are you shooting to get hot or are you shooting just to stay hot?
Well, as I was saying earlier, there's always games you want to add a little bit more, you know, contribute a little bit more on the score sheet. So I'm still shooting to get hot, but so far I've been pretty successful most games, so I'm just staying hot at this point.
Sounds good, Kevin. Thanks again for joining us tonight, and best of luck this Sunday against Washington.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Roscoe.
Bye-bye.
That was Kevin Ross, kross71 at twitter.com. If you want to follow him on Twitter, we fully encourage that, as we appreciate Kevin coming inside the Hive. And I think we have our next guest ready, the rookie from Maryland, Pat Smith, on the line here, ready to come inside the Hive. Patrick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I am good, sir. How are you?
Terrific. Couldn't be better.
And what are you up to on this fine... Well, this is going to air on Thursday, but we're recording on Wednesday here. So what's Pat Smith doing on his Wednesday afternoon in Minnesota right now?
I am currently at a lacrosse clinic in Stillwater. I've been here since about 3 o'clock. Had a JV session at 3, and then now I'm in the middle of a varsity session here till 6.
So we're going to talk a little bit about those camps and stuff as we move along here, Pat. But something I always like to ask players right off the bat is, especially you being American, and lacrosse still a very new kind of niche sport in the States, but growing all the time here. Is how did you get your start playing lacrosse?
I just started, you know, back when I was around 6 years old. My dad was big into sports, and he was trying to get me a sport to play during the spring. I was a big football player in the fall, and, you know, he played baseball, so I tried, you know, T-ball at that age, and I told him, I was like, Dad, this is completely boring. I was like, I need to do something else. And so he found a lacrosse program. I mean, they're not hard to find in Maryland, so he got me started in that right away, and it took off from there, so.
Yeah, Maryland, of course, a very big lacrosse community. Field lacrosse more than indoor lacrosse. And,
yes.
Speaking of indoor lacrosse, let's take it back here a little bit. I noticed you and got a chance to meet you this past summer before coming to Minnesota as you played in the Western Lacrosse Association, your first year of indoor lacrosse. How did you wind up in Nanaimo, British Columbia to play indoor lacrosse?
Actually, my roommate in college, Jordan Seelock, he plays for the Wings right now. He had played there the summer before, and he had been trying to get me to go out the summer before last to play, and, you know, I just couldn't do it. I had a summer job and, you know, had other stuff I was going on that summer. And then this summer, you know, I just graduated, so it was pretty much the perfect opportunity for me to get out there, and he got the tryout for me, and I went and tried out in Nanaimo and ended up making it, and, you know, had a pretty successful summer, I'd say, for my first summer.
Yeah, and that's probably got to be a pretty daunting thing to go from the wide open spaces of field lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
No shot clock, no boards, nice grass to fall down on, to step into an arena where there's concrete and hockey boards and, you know, a much quicker, more confined space. How was that transition for you, and what did you do to kind of acclimatize yourself to that?
It was pretty tough at the start. You know, I flew into Vancouver on a Wednesday, and I had practice on Thursday, and I was playing in my first game on that next Saturday. So I kind of, it was kind of, you know, pick it up or, you know, get left behind. So it was one of those things that if I didn't pick it up, I was going to be in trouble in that game. And, you know, luckily enough, when I went to college, Robert Morris, I had, you know, 12, 13 Canadians on my team that before I left, we kind of had like a little mini training camp type deal. And, you know, kind of got me ready, you know, let me know the ins and the outs, you know, what to do, what not to do, and stuff like that. And so it was good to have, you know, my buddies at school and even my roommates at Jordan to have me, like, you know, just pretty much talk me through everything before I got there. And then when I got there, it definitely helped.
And then we had a kind of chance to have a little back and forth leading up to training camp for Minnesota. And, you know, you get drafted by Minnesota. You were pretty happy about that, I would imagine. And then coming into training camp, pretty intense time there through training camp, a lot of high competition. But you get told you finally made the roster. And, you know, you start out on the practice roster, but, you know, you get signed. Tell me what that feeling was like for you.
It was, you know, I said getting drafted was a dream come true, but, you know, once I said coming into the summer that, you know, I just wanted to, you know, crack a roster somewhere. I didn't think I was going to get drafted, you know, only playing one summer box. I was, you know, I was calling different GMs, trying to get tryouts. And then, you know, once I got drafted and, you know, they told me to sign to the practice roster, you know, and I was happy about that. But then it's one of those things that I've always known growing up is, you know, never be satisfied. And once they finally, you know, called me and said I was getting activated, it was kind of like, well, now it's, you know, stay hungry and, you know, keep going. And so far it's been working out pretty well. I was pretty pumped when I got that phone call. I made a couple phone calls, called the parents. You know, they were excited, and it's been all uphill from there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Pat, because, you know, being on the practice roster for most of the season, we'll talk about Buffalo in a minute here, but you're in the apartments, a.k.a. Neverland, with the rest of the guys there that are all pretty full-time regular players, and it must have been a pretty tough thing to kind of wait your turn before you got into the lineup. How did you manage to stay positive and when your time came, be ready to go?
You know, it's one of those things that you just got to be a good teammate. No matter, you got to accept your role and, you know, be a good teammate to the other guys that are playing. Because, I mean, in reality, we're all on the same team and we're all fighting for the same thing. So, you know, every time they went on a road trip and I was left behind, I would make sure, you know, the night before they went to bed, I would say, you know, good luck this weekend. You know, send them texts while they're gone. You know, let me know when you guys get there so I know you make it safe. And then I'd always watch every game. I'd watch at least, I know I watched our game every time, and I'd try to catch, you know, another game. it's always trying to be, right now I'm still a student of this game, so the more and more I watch it, it's going to be the better and better I get at it. So I made sure that those guys knew that they had my support, and, you know, I had their support. You know, they wanted me to play just as bad as I did, and then, you know, it's all been good ever since.
So you step into the lineup against Buffalo, where you go into the HSBC Center, 16,000 strong there in Bandit Land, but you pop a couple of G's, and that's got to be a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, it was one of the ones where, you know, I let that first shot go and didn't really know if it was going to go in, and when I saw the red light, it was kind of like a big feeling of relief. You know, it was one of the ones, 17,000 people screaming. You know, I had kind of a rough weekend, you know, finding out that my jersey didn't make the trip. But
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things that you just put that past you. And once the first whistle blew and, you know, I let the first goal go, it kind of like set me into like a little zone. It's like just another lacrosse game. So.
And you mentioned never being satisfied and always wanting to get better. What do you think Pat Smith needs to do to get better at indoor lacrosse?
Just got to keep practicing, definitely keep practicing, you know, and take what the guys here tell me. Like, every time I come off the floor, you know, take it all to heart, whether it's good or bad. I mean, any criticism is better than no criticism. So whatever they tell me to do, just got to make sure I focus on doing that. And then going back this summer, back to Nanaimo, just got to keep playing. The way to get better at box is to keep playing it and keep watching it and keep, just like I said before, just be a good student of the game.
And then you mentioned off the top of the show, Pat, that, you know, you're at a camp right now and you've been doing camps and clinics while you've been in Minnesota, and you've had a chance to pass down your knowledge to some of the younger kids throughout the state of Minnesota. How has that experience been for you, and is that something you find fun to do, and how has that been going for you?
It's been going great. You know, when I first got here, I talked to Andy about our you know, some just job opportunities that I had with, you know, the lacrosse and the program. And they ended up getting me a JV coach with Coach Kainsey. He's the varsity, and he asked me to be his JV coach. And I really enjoy it. You know, when I was in Pittsburgh, I coached the 5th and 6th grade team and for 2 years. So I really like working with little kids, and I think that those are the best kids to teach because those are the ones that, like, want to learn. So it's easy to teach someone when they want to learn and be there and they want to play and they want to take what you have to say to heart, and it's going to make them better. So I find it to be, you know, it's good here because lacrosse is still young, and the kids, you know, it helps being a professional, so they want to pay attention more. But it's as long as the kids want to learn, then it's a great time for me. And the best part is seeing how the kids get better over the clinics, and it's been good to see the growth from the time that I first came here to the clinics, and then this is coming up to our last clinics tomorrow. And it's good to see the growth of the kids that have been here so far all the whole time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know there's a big group from, I believe, Grand Rapids that are going to come down at the end of April for the Colorado game, so that'll
right.
be neat to see as well. Pat, inside the Hive here with Pat Smith, I got a few more for you here, Pat, before I turn you over to Alec. Tell the fans something about Pat Smith that people don't know.
Probably that I played golf in high school. I was a big golfer on the golf team in the fall. You know, I started out playing football, and I figured out when I was probably 14 or 15, you know, 6 foot white kid, about 180 pounds, you're not really going to go to Division I playing football. So it was more or less just to stay healthy for lacrosse, but I ended up playing on the golf team for my final 2 years of high school, and, you know, really enjoyed that, made it to a couple of district tournaments, and, you know, golf's a big part of my life, just like lacrosse is. So whenever I'm on the lacrosse field, I'm usually out on the links.
Well, we might have to go get out there and swing it at Fairview or something over in Parksville this summer. That's our second golf reference, Kevin Ross saying that he'd like to be a professional golfer if he wasn't a professional lacrosse player. So I'm seeing sort of a relationship here between lacrosse players and golfers. Pat, who's the best ping pong player at Neverland?
Oh, wow. Jeez. Really put me on the spot here. Let's see. I would have to go.
You know they're going to listen to this show, too. So
I know. That's a bad thing. I'd give it.
I need an answer.
I know you do. I'd say either Corbin or myself.
Okay.
You know, I won the first tournament, and then I played Corbin in the 7-game series for the championship belt, and he took it from me. So, you know, we're at the top of the table right now, but it's one of the ones that, like, I mean, we all play, we all have a good time, and we have pretty good battles back and forth, though.
And I know the PS3 is usually fired up at Neverland, too. Who owns
PS3.
The video game title?
I got to give myself, me and Nick credit, me and Nick Billick some credit for 3-on-3 arcade, still never been beaten in a series.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole time we've been there, never been beaten in a series of NHL arcades. So if anyone wants to come out and try to take us on, we're accepting all invites.
And you can follow Pat Smith on Twitter at PatSmith_27. Pat, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie, Four Brothers with Mark Wahlberg, one of my top favorite movies.
Last question for me, Pat Smith. Your favorite corner to shoot at?
Oh, I'd have to go top right would be my favorite corner to shoot at. I was known to do that in high school quite a few times, carried that into college, and it gets a little harder in box, but, you know, it's still one of my favorite places to shoot.
Well, I know every player has their favorite corner. Pat Smith is top right. Pat Smith, I appreciate you joining us inside the Hive here. I'm going to turn you over to Alec. He's got some questions from some fans for you, and we'll see you soon, bud.
Perfect. Thanks. See you soon.
First question for you, Pat. This comes from Facebook. Dan Kremens writes, do you get more satisfaction out of scoring goals or giving out assists?
I'd have to say for this past game, first goal was pretty satisfying. But, you know, if you get an assist or a goal, it's helping your team score and helping your team be that close to winning. So, I mean, both of them are pretty satisfying for me.
We'll stick on Facebook here. Joel Clark writes, what did all the veterans say to you after you scored your first goal last week in your first game?
They just told me to keep going. They said, you know, coming into the game, they told me I didn't know how much I was going to get on the floor, but, you know, when I did, to bring a lot of energy and, you know, go as hard as I could. So after I got that first one, they just told me to keep going.
Last question for you. This one was emailed to us from Jessica in St. Paul. She wants to know, what is your favorite part so far about living in the Twin Cities?
Favorite part about the Twin Cities so far? I'd have to say, I know it doesn't happen very often in the Twin Cities, but this winter has been pretty amazing with the weather. So I'm going to have to say the weather and, you know, the relationships I've built so far with my teammates have been, you know, probably the top things I've had so far in Minnesota.
Well, sounds good, Pat. Thanks for joining myself and Jake on Inside the Hive, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
See you, Patty.
Yeah.
That was Pat Smith, rookie for the Minnesota Swarm, who got in the lineup last week, Alec, and had a couple of goals. Whether he's going to be in against Washington or not this week, we'll have to find out, as there may be a couple of more moves. Who knows? Maybe Todd Baxter gets in the lineup this week. We shall see. As it's going to be an interesting contest coming up against Washington this weekend, as we went into Washington, I guess it was 3 weeks ago now, and as Sullivan said in his coach's comments, you know, we played against a fairly depleted Washington stealth lineup. It's going to be a different case going in there this week, and it's probably going to be a much tougher contest here for Minnesota.
Right, and kind of an interesting element here, too. Washington will play the night before in Edmonton, so this is another back-to-back for them. This is actually their first weekend of action since playing Colorado in a back-to-back on the 10th and 11th, and kind of similar to last weekend with Buffalo. They were in a back-to-back and won both games this weekend. So, Jake, I was going to ask you, is it easier to play the first game of back-to-back or a second game after you kind of have your legs rolling?
Well, you know, logic and theory says that the first game would be easier, but if you look at the history so far this season, teams that have played in the second half of back-to-backs have been more successful in the second game than they have in the first game. So kind of an interesting scenario there, and I don't know whether that's kind of sports specific to lacrosse or whether that's just kind of a blip in the radar this season here, but it's been a kind of an interesting trend so far this season that teams have been more successful in their second half of the back-and-back. Let's hope it's not the case here this week.
No, absolutely. You certainly would hate to lose two road games after starting out the road trip with two wins. Interesting also to point out that, you know, now after this weekend, the team will finish 4 out of their final 6 games at home. So, fans, we will be returning to Treasure Island Field here soon. It has been a very long drought. I know everyone in the office, everyone on the team, I know yourself is. We're very excited to get back to the X and get back to the Hive.
Yeah, we got a back-to-back situation coming up ourselves at the end of the month as we finally return to the Hive, the XL Energy Center, on March 30th to take on the Calgary Roughnecks, and then we're out right after that game and into Edmonton the following night. So We get to take on both teams from the province of Alberta on consecutive nights. But, yeah, you're right. It's been a long time away from the Hive, and I know I am excited to get back into St. Paul and get back with the guys in Minnesota, as I'm sure you will be happy to see the guys come back as well. So, well, we'll look forward to that. We're running a little bit short on time here, Alex, so maybe we should start to wrap things up here. But we'll keep the episodes coming here for you. This is number 4. Number 5 will be out next Thursday. We'll make sure you stay on Twitter and follow us there. You can follow Alec at Alec_Shimke. You can follow me at PXP4Lax. At twitter.com as well, and then our Minnesota Swarm handle at Minnesota_Swarm at twitter.com. So make sure you're following us there. Don't forget, fans, you want to make sure that you're checking out swarmrewards.com. Very cool social media project we got going here. You get on Facebook, you get on Twitter, you do your normal stuff there, you share it, you retweet, and while you do that, you earn points. With those points, you're going to be eligible to win some fantastic prizes a little later on in the year. So make sure you're checking that out. Alec, you got anything else before we wrap this puppy up?
Well, Jake, as you mentioned, you know, this is going to be a new-look Washington team this weekend. They'll have a couple guys back in the lineup. From a scout's perspective, how do they differ this time around versus when we played them there on late in February?
Well, it's like I said, they got their starting goaltender and one of the best goaltenders in the game right now, Tyler Richards, who's coming back off of an injury. He's been back for a couple of games now. Zawicki, who really kind of makes that offense go. He's a real floor general and slows the game down to his pace and kind of orchestrates everything on offense for that team. Sorensen, a perennial all-star in the back end for those guys, is back healthy. And Iannucci is starting to hit his stride, which is a dangerous thing. So, you know, Reese Dutch didn't play in that first game against us either. So you look at those 4 or 5 guys, and they're all top-flight lacrosse players. So it's going to be a much bigger challenge for our guys to go in on the road, the fourth game of a 4-game road trip, and come out of there with a victory. But, you know, I think it's possible. I think if Minnesota, if we play our best game and we play a full 60 minutes, we're fully capable of winning that game, and hopefully we come out right out of the gate and play our best lacrosse.
Big impact on the standings this week, too. Swarm sitting at 5-4, Washington in fourth place at 3-7, and the Swarm hold a 2.5 game lead right now. And if you're just kind of looking at the playoff picture coming up, a win here would put us at 6-4, drops Washington to 3-8. Possibly kind of locking up that 3 or better spot for the Swarm, you know, with Colorado at 8-2, Calgary at 7-3. The Swarm are still chasing those two teams, but it'd certainly be nice to build a little cushion there between the Swarm and the Stealth.
Yeah, it's really a big game, and, you know, almost an even bigger game is that Edmonton versus Washington game to see who comes out victorious in that one the night before. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that one to watch that one. And by all accounts, it looks like John Grant Jr. is not going to be back in this weekend as they face Philadelphia twice this weekend as well. So some interesting games coming up in the National Lacrosse League this week. Of course, we are in Everett, Washington, Sunday at an 8 p.m. Eastern start time. From the city of Everett, so make sure you check that one out. You can watch it on the NLL Network on our channels page. Make sure you check out the visiting teams page if you want to watch the NLL Network live feed for that one. I think we're just about out of time here, Alex, so I'm going to wrap it up. This has been another episode of Inside the Hive with Alec Shimke and Jake Elliott. We appreciate you listening in. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode. And for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.